Hello, my dear curious friend. Welcome to another podcast episode. You have probably heard about Venice, right? Beautiful city in Italy. And you know that Venice has a lot of bridges. But did you know that Berlin has more bridges than Venice? That's right. That and many more curious facts in today's episode. By the way, real quick, before we jump into the episode, I just want to say that one of the reasons, you probably already know that, but one of the reasons I create all this content is to meet people from around the world, and not just me to meet the people, but the people to meet themselves. And one of the bad things about podcasting is that there are no comments, like you cannot comment. So I'm thinking, let's try and fix that. So I'm opening a hashtag, CuriousPavelPodcast. You know, it's so funny. It's kind of difficult to find a hashtag that nobody has ever used before. So I just want to have a hashtag just for us, just for the podcast. So you want to communicate with other people who are listening to the podcast, Curious Pavel Podcast, hashtag, use it on Instagram or LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, whatever you prefer. Just let's start using it and let's start connecting. Let's meet people from around the world. Curious Pavel Podcast. Go share a post and let's communicate. Let's meet new people. And let's go to the episode. Hello, Leandro. Thanks so much for joining us for the podcast. Or shall I say, guten Morgen, Leandra. How are you doing today?
Dankeschön. Guten Morgen. Yeah. Thank you for the big applause. I feel so honored to be here.
Yeah. And I thank you for coming, just, you know, one, for sharing, and two, for letting me practice a bit about my German. We should have spoken a bit more German before the episode. But anyway, we can do it after. So thanks so much for joining us again. We're going to be talking about Berlin. I'm really excited because it's a place that I know nothing about. Just a capital to me. That's all I know. But before we go to Berlin, I'm just curious to learn more about yourself. Would you mind, you know, giving us 2, 3, 4 sentences about your life story so far?
Ooh, putting that together in 3, 4 sentences is a challenge. Well, my name is Leandra. I currently live in Berlin, have been living here for 13 years. I work as a hypnotherapist, a Reiki and sound healer, a personal coach. At the side, I do a podcast as well called Pure Happy Healthy, all about happiness and health. And I design earrings, which I'm selling, and I'm doing candles, perfume, all kind of that stuff at the side. So also that creative side about me. And I could probably tell a whole podcast more about me, but that's basically my the biggest facts.
That was great summary, by the way. Great summary. But wait, did I hear correctly? Sound healer?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
What is this?
Do you know what that is?
No. Can you tell me? I'm curious.
So I have bowls and some other instruments, which I'm using to heal people, basically. So, you know, as every sound is a vibration and it goes in waves, the waves can hit the body. And as we consist of water, the waves that come like make our body move, basically. And if we have blockages in our body, it can release these blockages. So with these sounds, and when I play these instruments, you can really feel the sounds. It's a very deep vibration in different frequencies. So yeah, they can go really deep in your body. And so you release blockages, fears, trauma, whatever. And I combine it with Reiki, which is energy healing, and hypnotherapy, which is going very deep on a subconscious level to release limiting beliefs or thought patterns or negative habits, etc.
Very, very interesting. Yeah, I hear about this for the first time, I think. Yeah. Anyway, but thanks for explaining. So interesting. I'm gonna ask you how you got into after the episode. But let's dive into into Berlin. I'm just gonna share my screen quickly to show where Berlin is. But my first question about when it comes to Berlin is, where, in which area would you recommend that we stay? You have a recommendation?
Ooh, that really, really depends what you want. So that's the beauty about Berlin. every part of Berlin is so incredibly different that depending how you define yourself or what you're looking for, that's how you should choose the area where you're staying. And as you maybe know, Berlin has been separated into East and West for a really long time because it has been conquered by the UK, France, the US, and Russia. And then there was a wall in between the middle of Germany, and the East part belonged to the Russians and the West part belonged to the Allies. So still, even though the wall has fallen in 1989, you can still somehow see it in the architecture and in the behavior of the people, or in the structure, how the city is built, that there used to be a wall and it was a very different history that the two parts experienced. So if you rather would like it a little bit more posh, and you really like it when it's all fancy, very clean, you like to go shopping, like high class shopping, I would really recommend you to go to Charlottenburg, which is in the west. There's beautiful buildings, very good shopping opportunities, very fancy people, everything, even like dog manicure, pedicure, dog care, you know, you get an image. So then there's other areas in the west, like Wilmersdorf, for example, or the Seelendorf, which is more quiet. It's more like if you really want nothing but just staying there and going for entertainment somewhere else, that's the spot that you would choose. It's very close to nature. It's very close to the lakes. It's also very posh, very rich in most of the parts. So that's the area that you would choose. If you wanted really rough, let's say, and you want to experience like a melting pot of different cultures, really different vibes, like very energetic, let's say, also very dirty, you go to Neukölln, which is in the southeast. And I used to live there for a really long time. And it's beautiful because you find incredibly cheap and good food from all nationalities there. You find grocery shops from all around the world there. Every culture gathers there. There's so much life on the street. But at the same time, it can be really draining in terms of energy because there's nonstop people. It's shouting, screaming. It's very dirty. There's always something going on. But it also has an incredible nightlife in terms of bars, etc. So that's where you would go. Okay, Kreuzberg?
So if you're going for nightlife, it would make sense to travel across whole Berlin every night, I mean every morning when you're coming back. Just go for nightlife, just settle for the east part.
Exactly. You should go to Friedrichshain, which is I think the best hub for nightlife, for clubs, for bars, for just hanging out. But also Neukölln has good bars, Kreuzberg has good bars, but in terms of clubbing, it's for sure Friedrichshain, yes, also in the east.
Okay, well, that's very interesting because I didn't know that, you know, the culture is so different even these days because, you know, after the wall, you know, was demolished, I thought that it was a bit more balanced, but that's very interesting.
You know why that is? Because like every part of Berlin used to be like a small town in itself, basically, and it grew together. So each part has its own little center. In most cities, you have that one city center where everything gathers, and then it spreads to the outside, and then people live in the outsides and they go to shopping and to entertainment in the city. Berlin doesn't really have that. It has multiple centers, and that's why it's so spread out, and that's why each part is so different.
Okay, so each region, in a way, works for itself.
Exactly.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah, anything like that, just throw away, because here in the podcast, we love history, both traveling and history. Okay, that was interesting. So we understood that if we're going for, you know, dancing and party, go to the east. But what can we see in terms of sightseeing?
Okay, so we have the Brandenburg Gate, which is one of the biggest sightseeing, probably. It's a huge gate, very historical. And in that whole area, you will find many more sites. There is a massive park, which used to be an old entertainment park for the people who reigned the area. And there's the Holocaust Memorial, which should remember of the Holocaust. And that's new architecture. It's right next door. And then there's the Parisian square with all kind of architectural buildings, mostly embassies, but also museums, etc.
Oh,
and
you,
then
you,
we
you
have
mentioned
the museum
a lot of,
island.
You mentioned a lot of things one after another. I just want to ask you about the Brandenburg Gate. Mm-hmm. It's famous because it's been here since, I don't know, what was it, 30s, 40s? It was renovated after that? Or can you tell me something about the gate?
Oh, to be honest, I used to have it. I actually studied art history, but it's so long ago that I forgot the year that it was built. I just know that there is a funny story about the horses that you see on the top. They were actually stolen from Napoleon, and they were brought back later on. So there was actually like a fight about the horses up on the top. But I think it was built in the 18th century. It's historical, like the style is historical. And it survived the war. So that's really
okay.
Nice, at least in most parts.
Okay, I thought it was built around the Nazi time, but it was way before that.
Much before, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so they stole it from France, the horses.
Yeah. And then I found it back.
Okay. So the gate, it's quite famous. I mean, I've seen pictures of it. So you mentioned the Holocaust Museum, which is also quite famous. It's a famous site.
Holocaust Memorial. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then what else did you mention?
Then there's the, which is probably the biggest sightseeing site, is the TV tower. Yeah, that's the Holocaust Memorial.
But by the way, do you know why is it made like that, the Holocaust Memorial? Is there any...
It should remember as graves. And when you walk through the memorial, then you can walk in the hallways. You should feel lost and you should feel like, you cannot see the outside. So it's actually meant to be very suppressing, basically. So you get that heavy, hard feeling that the past obviously represents that dark period of German history.
Mm. Okay, that was good. Thanks so much. Also, what was the last thing you mentioned? Sorry?
The TV tower.
TV tower. Okay. TV Tower in Berlin. Why is it so popular? You can go up, I suppose.
Exactly. And Berlin is really flat. We don't have a lot of tall buildings. So the only building that is actually like really tall is the TV Tower. And it was in the old eastern part, so in the Russian part, and they used it as a TV tower. So it's also the Russian architecture style. And yeah, now you can go up and there is a cafe on the top and you can have a view all over Berlin and check out Berlin. And as Berlin is so flat, you can really see it until the outskirts of Berlin.
Okay, on a bright day. Speaking of bright day,
yeah.
I wanted to ask you for the weather because I know Germany is also like, so for the weather. But before we go for the weather and best time to see, anything else you would like to mention for, you know, sightseeing one or two spots more?
There's also the Memorial Church. It's in the east, it's in Charlottenburg. And this one has been destroyed very heavily in the war. And they actually left it like this, which is very nice, I think. And they built that, what you can see, the new part next to it. So they combined it with new architecture, and also they left it as a memory of the war and how horrible it was and how much it destroyed. And so they didn't choose to renovate it. So that's another one. And then obviously we have the Museum Island, which has a lot of beautiful buildings as well.
So is that a
very important a small museums park
with a lot of museums, or why does it call? Why is it called
exactly? Sorry.
Why is it called Museum Island? There is an area with a lot of mm-hmm. museums.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's basically, it is an island. So we actually do have a lot of water, which most people don't know. Actually, in Berlin, there are more bridges than in Venice. Isn't that crazy?
All that.
Yeah.
Real?
Yeah. Real. Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah.
So in this part of Berlin, there's every museum accumulated basically, because there's a lot of still old buildings which have been renovated after the war. This is the dome, and then next to it there's the Pergamon Museum, the Museum of Islamic Art, the Old Museum, a lot of collections, so, and the new National Gallery. So a lot of museums just accumulated at one place, historical museums.
Okay, so I see what you mean by island at the moment. So how many rivers? Is there a couple of rivers that are crossing Berlin, or is it just one?
The Spree. It is just one that goes through. It's the Spree. Mm-hmm. But we have a lot of channels. So they built channels. And that's why it feels like there's a lot of water. And when you zoom out a little bit and look more to the outside, all around Berlin, there's many lakes and many rivers that are called differently. For example, in the west, you see the Havel. And then in the east, we have the Dahme. And they become lakes, basically. So, they just change names. But inside Berlin, it's only the Spree.
Okay. Okay. But a lot of bridges, that was a great fact. A lot of bridges. And I just see that Berlin mm-hmm. Cathedral is really beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very beautiful. That whole area is very beautiful.
Okay, so definitely one of the places. Just go to Museum Island. Okay, beautiful. I'm speaking about, you know what I mentioned before about the weather. When do you think will be the best time to visit Berlin?
Personally, I would suggest May and September, because that's when it's not super hot, but it's already warm usually. This year was a bit different, so much rain and so cold, but usually it's so nice. And then when it's the time when all the blossoms come out and the leaves come back and everyone is in a good mood, and Berliners love to go out. So it's really funny. Also, another fun fact, like once there's a little bit of sunshine and once it's not raining, you will find every Berliner on the street and every park, just sunbathing, sitting out in a cafe. It is massive. Like I'm surprised how many cafes and how many people Berlin has on such a day, because it feels like every single person is outside, because we know that our summers are quite short and that we have a long, very tough winter. So that's why people really use these days and be outside. Our summers are actually quite hot and humid. Usually this summer so far has also been pretty rainy, like the whole year. And the winters can get really, really cold. We have a little bit more of the continental climate, more as France or Holland or the UK. It's a bit more into like the weather like Poland or Czech Republic. So more cold and more hot in summer. Yeah.
That reminds me of UK, because here in UK, we don't get much sun as well. And when sun is out, people go in parks, because London, for example, is a very green space, a lot of parks, and people just go and lie down in the parks. And to us, as Balkans, we don't do that. We don't lie down around the parks. And when my family was here, I was showing them around, it was a hot summer day. And my father was like, we just go out of the underground, you just straight into the park, and it's like, wow, what are all these people? Is there a concert here? What's happening? I'm like, no, they just chill. That's how things are here. It's strange.
I think you have more rain though. Germany or like Berlin has less rain than London for sure.
Could be. However, I just want to point out that the reputation here that rains all the time here is It's wrong, really wrong. It's false advertisement, especially for London. If you go up north, if you go up north, yes, it rains a lot. But in London, you know, we don't get that much rain. Sure, it's been raining the past month here, strangely. But doesn't rain usually that much. Okay, so May or September, really good. Would you recommend any places that we can have a bite? Any place? Oh, actually, before that, before we go there, what's anything traditional? Are you going to say German sausage? I don't know. I'm just asking. What's anything traditional to eat in Germany and in Berlin?
So I have to distinguish between Germany and Berlin, because Berlin is a melting pot of so many different cultures. So I would say that, like, in Berlin generally, you find really everything that you can imagine. We have one of the biggest or best food cultures in the whole world, I would say. And especially in terms of pricing, you find an amazing meal in between 5 or 10 euro, which tastes really good and the quality is good. And you can even sit there nicely and so on. But in the rest of Germany, I think it's a bit more traditional. So what people think of German food culture in terms of sausages, schnitzel, sauerkraut, all that stuff is more found towards the south. In the north, it's more fish or like fish buns. But if I should take one thing that counts for all Germany, I would say we're famous for our bread and our bakeries. Really? Because that is really something that most people don't know. No? But German bread is really, really good. And when you ask a German who's abroad what they miss the most, then they will tell you 99% it's the bread.
Well, that I didn't know. That's interesting. So wait, is that about Berlin or in general Germany?
In general, like the bread in whole Germany is, and the bakeries are really good usually. And you find really nice buns and dark bread with a lot of grains or good quality bread. And usually when you're abroad, there's always that packaged, very white, like with a lot of preservative bread, that when a German has to eat that, and they're usually like, yeah, I don't really like that. So I would say that's something that is like connects all Germans together. And I mean, I'm not drinking alcohol, but I think the beer in Germany has a really high standard and a really good quality. So that's what Germans miss also when they go abroad, is like the good beer.
Well, in general, Germans try to keep high standards on everything, I think. Standard? No, it's not that.
It's interesting that you bring that up. It's a very interesting topic, because I think in terms of quality for housing or like some things of food, yes, but we actually have the lowest food quality in our grocery shops from most part of Europe. We always get the worst quality stuff because Germans are really greedy and they want to not spend a lot of money. They want to save money. So they don't like to spend a lot on food. And that's why the industry has reacted. And that's why we get the cheapest food, but also obviously the cheapest in terms of quality. So Germany actually is one of the countries in whole Europe with the cheapest food prices in the grocery shop. And I'm always surprised, even if I go in countries where people earn much less money, their food is so much more expensive than here in Germany. But you taste it. When I come back from abroad, I'm always like, this is not a tomato. It tastes like water. Like, what is this? And it's hard to find actually really good and nice quality.
Wow. Do you have any other examples? Is there something like that as well?
I think besides that, like in terms of cars or in terms of furniture and stuff, people do like high quality. That's where they like to spend money. Mm-hmm. And the prejudice that Germans are really hard workers and like kind of perfection is very true as well. So actually, it's very surprising that in this part of their life, they like to save money, or generally also Germans save a lot of money. They don't spend it. Somehow they always like, no, we need to save. And I think it's a post-traumatic experience from the war that people still think they need to save money for an emergency or something. And what's really also a fun fact about Germany is that you cannot really pay with credit card anywhere. People love cash. In a lot of places still, they have no credit card machine. So you always need to carry around cash in order to be able to pay your bills.
Well, that was a good tip for everyone visiting Germany. But I, as I told you in the beginning, I used to live in Germany for a few months near Frankfurt. And one thing, you know, one of the things that always stayed in my mind that, you know, they really like to work hard, because I remember it was a Wednesday evening and I just said to the people that I was staying with, like, hey, let's go have a beer. And they're like, no, we need to work tomorrow. I'm like, it's not going to be a crazy night. We're just going to go out, you know, drink one beer and go back. No, half an hour, let's go to bed. It was like 10, like something like that, or 9, half past 9, something like that. But they work Monday to Friday, they work very hard. And then what I noticed, especially people I used to live with, Saturday comes and they drink like there is no tomorrow. It's like
already the, Friday.
Oh yeah, or Friday. It's like the world will be finishing. And then they spend the whole day after that recovering, a whole day. It was an interesting sight. Go on.
Actually, if I can say something to that, because that's the big difference between Germany and Berlin. Because Berlin is a island in many ways. I think it's because of the history also, because it was surrounded by the DDR, we call it. I think it's GPR, like the Russian part.
Yeah.
That it developed in a completely different way, as it was basically West Berlin was an island, you know. It was surrounded by all Russian territory where you could not go. So Berlin is also different in that way. And it's actually another fun fact that our major said, Berlin, we are poor but sexy. And it's very true. Like in Berlin, there is not really like a big industry. All the big factories, all the big companies, all the fashion is somewhere else. In the south of Germany mostly, that's where the money is in Germany. And that's where a lot of hardworking people are. But in Berlin, there's a big, massive art scene and a massive music scene, a lot of nightlife. So people also who come to Berlin and live in Berlin are very different in that way. They love to party. They love to have a lot of free time. They really enjoy their life. They're very artistic. And that's why Berlin is known to be very grungy, which is very true in most parts, at least, and very alternative. A lot of LGBTQ+ people, a lot of people who think very different or behave very different or have a different lifestyle. So that's also why the days are very different in Berlin. Like a lot of freelance workers are here. So when you go out here on a regular day in the week, you will actually find a lot of people in the street because a lot of people work freely and or are artists and just do a lot of different jobs at the same time. And they love to have a lot of free time as well and really enjoy life. And the parties is therefore nonstop, like at least before Corona. Now it's a little bit different, but before Corona, you could start partying on Thursday and you do not need to come home till Tuesday, you know, like, and we go out on, sometimes you go out on Friday and you come back on Monday. And so it's not like you party on Friday or Saturday and recover on Sunday, but party goes on and on and on. Yeah.
Wow. So if you go back on if you go out on Thursday, go out on Thursday evening, and then you come back on Tuesday, well, that gives you what? If you repeat that, that gives you 2-3 days working week. Not bad. You know, it's so interesting because when I used to work with Germans, and they always say, you know, Berlin is not Germany. But now more and more I understand, you know, what they mean.
Yeah. Berlin is not Germany. It's so true. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, and actually, if you want to know a little bit more about clubbing, I'm the expert in that.
Are you?
I used to go party before Corona, at least. I used to go out a lot. So there's really, really nice, good clubbing scene, especially for the electronic music scene. And the fun part about Berlin is that you don't go out at night usually, at least when you are in the scene and you know a little bit about it and you're not a tourist who doesn't really understand the Berlin concept, but you go out on a Sunday morning. That's the best time, and the best parties start on Sunday morning.
The best Sunday morning, they start the party? So you start drinking from Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm. So I don't drink alcohol and my friends also don't drink alcohol, but we meet for breakfast and then we, yeah, have a nice chat and we get ready together. And then we go to the club maybe at 9 or 10 in the morning. And then you stay the whole day. And if you're working on Monday, you just go home in the evening. And if you don't have to work, you can stay till Monday morning or maybe even afternoon. So the nice thing about that is, especially for me, as I'm not drinking, is that, you know, when you sleep well and you eat a nice breakfast in the morning, you have so much energy because you would be awake anyways, and you don't get your biorhythm out of track. And you can just sleep in the evening and you're fit on Monday morning and you don't have a hangover, but you had an amazing, I don't know, 12-hour party or something. So that's a really, really cool concept. I really love and appreciate about Berlin.
So does that mean, we're going to be finishing soon, but does that mean that every once in a while you see hangover people, even if it's like Tuesday afternoon, some people like, oh, yeah, walking out on the street. Yeah. Well, that's
Yeah, actually, Monday is the Sunday of Berlin. Like Monday, everything is closed. Most cafes, most restaurants, most bars. It's a really quiet day because most people are hangover on Monday.
Well, yeah, it makes sense as well. Businesses to work on Sunday if, you know, people are going clubbing so much. Seems like every second person from Berlin, if I ask them about clubbing, they're going to be like, yeah, here, there. Yes, come with me. They're going to be knowledgeable. All right. Well, that was very insightful. Yeah. Anything else to add? Anything more interesting, curious, something that comes to your mind, something about the culture, or if you can just, you know, close the episode in your words.
I'm a massive coffee fan, so definitely check out the coffee places. Specialty coffee, I would type in Google if you're looking for a place. I can really recommend Five Elephants. That's one of my favorites. And then maybe a last fun fact, which Germans really, or like the German government really tries to keep under the carpet, but I think it's very funny, so I'm going to share it. Every project that they're building in Berlin somehow is a disaster. So I don't know if you have heard about our airport.
Airport? No.
No? Okay. So we had really two very old airports. And it was necessary that we get a new one because we had so many tourists and so many people coming to Berlin, and the airports just wouldn't work for, didn't have the capacity for so many people. Okay. So they started to build a new airport, which would be bigger. And guess how long it took to build that airport? It took them 14 years because there were so many scandals involved in that project. And once they said it was finished and they were about to open it, I remember they were saying it in the train. They were like, yeah, this train goes to the airport. And then 2 days before it should open, they announced that they actually forgot to build in toilets. They forgot to build in air conditioning. They forgot to build in some really important infrastructure. And that's why they had to like close it again. And it took them in total another, I think, 11 years or something to added to the already existing airport, and no planes could go from there, but they still had to maintain it. So people were working constantly in the airport to keep it clean, to keep the air circulating. The trains had to go so the train lines don't get old and rusty. So we basically had an operating airport, but just no one could fly from there. And it so much taxes went into that stupid airport project. And now in October last year, they opened, and it was the day when our lockdown started. So basically people couldn't fly anyways. So that's the big sarcasm about the whole airport. So yeah, we have a beautiful new airport if you ever can come visit after the lockdown season and after the pandemic.
My God, there goes the German efficiency. I'm so surprised. It seems like you
outsourced. Exactly.
You outsourced this project.
Okay,
Leandro, that was a great episode. You also, so first of all, we're gonna link everything that you talk about. We're gonna link your podcast and your social media channels in case anyone has any questions or wants to say hi or have a coffee when you are in Germany, in Berlin. But also,
yes,
that, you know, you have knowledge about other cities as well. We might do another episode later on.
Cool. Yeah, I lived a lot in a lot of different places. I've lived in 6 different places. I speak 6 or 7 different languages. So I'm happy to talk more about different places and cultures.
Which places? Can you just mention them?
First, I lived in the US, then I lived in Mexico, then I lived in India for a while, then on Bali, in Melbourne, Australia, Istanbul, Turkey, and of course, Germany.
Wow. Yeah. Well, you cross the globe in a way, like tick, 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 like continents almost everywhere. Great stuff.
Yeah.
So if you are listening, watching, just let us know what would you like to hear from Leandra next. I'm sure we're going to make that happen to you. Well, thanks so much for joining us. Great insights, great episode, great information, great humor, great fun. I enjoyed it a lot. And I'm looking forward to meet you once again.
And that's a wrap for yet another travel episode. Thank you so much for listening the whole thing. If you have listened that on Apple Podcasts, please leave a review. That will mean a lot, a lot, a lot, a lot to me. Also, if you have a friend, a cousin, or a teacher, or anybody else who you think will be suitable for this series, please connect us and let's make this happen. Thanks so much once again. I wish you a fantastic day.